Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What is up, everybody? It is D-Flux here, the one and only of the Hard Hits podcast. That's right, folks. A return to old days, to old times. It's been a while. It is April the 3rd here, 2021. We're in 2021. We've been in 2021 for a while now, so... This is Derek Felix of Hard Hits. This is a podcast format. What I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go off on a couple of different things, and we'll see where it takes us. So, I got a couple of topics that I'd like to discuss here. It's been a while since I've done this. First up, let's talk about the good. This weekend is the Final Four. It's finally here. Last year, of course, the men's basketball tournament in college basketball, of course, was canceled due to the pandemic known as COVID, and pretty much stopped everything. I just want to say that to actually have a tournament again, I know that the teams, with the exception of maybe Gonzaga and Baylor, there's not a lot of great teams this year. That's true. But there's the possibility, there's the potential to have a Gonzaga-Baylor final. Gonzaga, of course, is still undefeated. They're trying to become the first team to go unbeaten and win a championship for the first time since, I think, Indiana did it. So, and I think I was like maybe just not even born. I think that was 76. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm just going to try to be direct here on this. I like to see Gonzaga get it done. They have a very good team. I think Mark Few is an excellent coach. They've been to a Final Four before. They've fallen short. Everybody thinks they have the best team. And they've beaten everybody by double digits in this tournament. They are really good, especially when you look at Corey Kispert, the shooting guard who can shoot the three, can get to the basket and score. When you look at Jalen Suggs, lottery pick that's probably going to go in the top three or four of the NBA draft. Really good point guard. It's got nice size. It's got great athleticism. At 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists in their win. In their win, where they cruised over, I think it was USC. They just weren't any match for them or the Mobleys. Now they're trying to go through another Pac-12 team. I would rather say Pac-10, to be honest. But, you know, it's been a really good tournament for the Pac-12. You had USC against Oregon in the Elite Eight. That was one of the things I actually got right. The thing I got really wrong was Illinois. I thought Illinois had a bracket that they should have won, and they wound up losing to who the heck did they lose to? They lost to Loyola Chicago in the second round. Loyola Chicago was kind of underseeded. They played a great game, and they knocked off Illinois. And I don't think they ever trailed in that game. And their coach just left and took a job with Oklahoma. Yeah, he wouldn't take a job with St. John's, but he took a job with Oklahoma. So Illinois was very disappointing, and I thought that they were the team. They were going to be the team to face Gonzaga in the title game. So I didn't want to go with Baylor. Look, I had Baylor in the Final Four. I went with three ones. and I went with A2. I had Alabama. So that's what I had. Well, it didn't work out that way. So, all right. There are two teams that I did get right, and they could face each other in the final. And Baylor only has one loss, and they are really stacked. They're a very tough team, our Baylor. They will be facing Houston, the Houston team that they play grinding defense, very physical, and it's the first time they've been in the Final Four since Faisal Majama when Hakeem Olajuwon was playing for Houston. And, wow. And they had so many great players on that team. So it's been a long time since they've been in the Final Four. So, yeah, exactly. Now, they're a physical team. They have three really good players. They aren't a great offense by any stretch. I give Arkansas credit for making that a close game. They lost by, I think, 6 points. No, it wasn't Arkansas. I think it was it was Oregon State. Oregon State. Yeah, Oregon State had a great run for a team that just squeaked in as a 12 seed. How about UCLA? UCLA, of course, they survived and advanced against Michigan State in the play-in in the first four when Michigan State had them on the ropes in regulation. They didn't put them away. And UCLA played a great overtime, and I knew they were going to be problems for BYU, who I thought would get to the Sweet 16. But when I looked at UCLA, I thought they had the athletic bodies, and I knew they were going to be a problem. And they've made a great run here. It's been a long time since they've been in the Final Four. The last time was when they had guys like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love. They had those guys with Ben Howland when they also played very hard those defense. I will say this. They had no business beating Michigan. Michigan blew that game. They were better in that game. No, they were the better team. They had the size edge. The defense was very tough. It was very tough for UCLA to score points in the second half. But every time you felt like Michigan was going to make the couple of baskets, make a run, and maybe blow past them, it just never happened. UCLA just, they hung around. They made enough plays. And to think that they held Michigan to 49 points, 51-49, and Michigan missed their last eight shots. And Wagner airballed a three, and he had another three with 5 times per second. That didn't go. Michigan was just brutal in that game. They also missed some free throws. Hickson. It was costly. But UCLA, I think my brother said it best, my brother JNF. He said that the right team won. UCLA deserved to win the game. They played so physical and gritty. Obviously, they couldn't match Michigan on the glass, but they did a great job playing defense. Michigan did miss some shots they probably should have made. But Michigan played very bad in that particular game. And UCLA, they're the second team to make the first four or play-in and get to the Final Four. Last time it was Virginia Commonwealth, VCU. They're going to try to match up against Gonzaga. You also have to look at the Timmy guy, he's a real good post player. He's been putting up really good numbers for Gonzaga. All five of their stars can produce, and they also have a good bench. They play good defense as well. They run really good sets in their half court. They have game breakers, as I said. Suggs would be the number one game breaker. Timmy is not just a guy that scores. He rebounds the ball. He also can be like a point kind of big guy where he distributes the ball. They run back doors. They are going to be a handful. They're favored, I think, by what's the spread on that? I think it's like 14 or 13 and a half. UCLA are huge underdogs. Well, look, I'd love to see them give them a game. I just don't know if it's going to happen. But overall, you had some upsets in this tournament. You have a team that you didn't expect to be there, UCLA. So I think that's great. pulling off the impossible against Michigan. Now they're going to try to pull off the mission impossible. The mission impossible. Beat Gonzaga. I mean, they do have a real good coach, but I just don't know if they could stay with them. I mean, that's going to be tough. I kind of feel like Gonzaga is going to win this game by about 18 points. I think they're going to win it by about 18. I just think they got too much. Now, the other game, Baylor against Houston. You know, Baylor has a really good offense, and they have players that can make shots, and they've lost two games. Actually, let me correct them. They lost two games. They're 26-2. But Gonzaga is 30-0. Houston has lost only three games. They were the two seed. I just wasn't a big Houston guy. They should have lost to Rutgers. Rutgers blew that game in the second round. They had every chance to put Houston away to make a Sweet 16. Imagine that, Rutgers, team from New Jersey, from Piscataway. And they just stopped playing offense in the last 5 minutes. They got destroyed, got railroaded on the offensive boards. And that's where Houston really does their damage. They really can kill you on the offensive glass. They play unbelievable defense. So this is a contrast in styles. This is a contrast in styles right here. So it's only, I think, maybe five. It's 5 points. Gonzaga is 14. 134.5 is the total. The way Houston plays, this game's going to be in the 60s. It's not going to hit 134.5. I don't do betting, but if I was to tell anybody anything, I would go under. I would take the under on that game. I do like Baylor to win, but I think Houston can make it interesting. If they could keep it very slow and slow down Baylor, yeah, I expect that to be a grinded out kind of game. Maybe like a 66-62 score, something in that vicinity, I'm thinking. I mean, that's just – it's two different styles. I mean, Baylor – and the one thing about Houston, they have some guys that can make shots from the outside. But Baylor's got some more playmakers on our team. Zags, I just think they're a very tough team. They're a great story. They've had a great program for a long time. It started in 1998. Under the former coach. I remember when they got St. John's that 1 year, and that was just a terrible draw for St. John's, having to play them out in the Pacific where they had all their fans there. That was just a terrible draw. That was a bad memory for me. This team looks like they're legit. I would love to see this big matchup come down. I love to see the Zags take on Baylor. Let's see, you know, who's better? Are the Zags really a team of Dusty? Can they really pull it off? Can they go undefeated and become the first team to do it since 1976 in the Hoosiers? When we all know that UNLV they choked it up. Duke was out for revenge after getting killed, pulverized by UNLV the year before in the championship game. It was a national semifinal. And Anderson Hunt, I think, fouled out on a controversial call. That team had Greg Anthony, had Anderson Hunt, they had Larry Johnson. I'm forgetting somebody as well. But I think you get the point. That was a great team. They probably should have run the table, and they should have repeated. I just think it's great to have the tournament back, and I'm excited to see what happens. First game is going to be tipping off around 5:14, Houston and Baylor, and approximately 8:34, which is this spacing it out, which is perfect. You'll have UCLA and Gonzaga. UCLA, an 11 seed against the number one overall seed Gonzaga, the Bulldogs. It's just nice to have the tournament back. I want to make one other comment here about college basketball in general. You're seeing all these players enter the transfer portal because they don't have to sit out. And look, I understand. I talked about this with Zach Brazil of the New York Post on Twitter, where I was pretty upset because St. John's lost a whole bunch of players and looked like they were building a good program with Mike Anderson and a whole bunch of guys just decided to leave, including Greg Williams, who I liked. including Marcellus Earlington. The other four guys, they were bit guys, but especially Greg Williams, Earlington, that hurt. It hurts. And St. John's can't compete. You know, they're not going to be able to compete, you know, with some of these other schools. They don't have the big campus. Right? Maybe they'll be back and playing at Madison Square Garden some of their games next year. But it's not the same as playing, you know, at a Duke or, you know, at a Villanova. You know, it's not the same thing. Or at a Carolina. It's just not the same thing. You have to build a program. Anderson is on the right track. They are getting a transfer from Purdue. But this whole transfer portal thing, where you're seeing all these guys leave, that's why Roy Williams decided that it was time for him to get out. Roy Williams coached North Carolina since 2003. He coached Kansas from 1988 to 2003 after Danny Manning led the Larry Nexttown Brown Kansas Jayhawks to the championship. When they probably shouldn't have won that year, but it was in Kansas and they won. And there were some really great players back then. Mookie Blaylock, I could think of a bunch of players. Steve Kerr was on Arizona. Sean Elliott. I think Arizona probably had the best team. Oklahoma was really good too. My whole thought on this, I think Brazil is right. Zach Brazil is a great writer for the New York Post. If you don't follow him, follow him. He's great. Coaches, so the players don't have a right to do it when the coaches do it all the time. From that standpoint, he's right. Coaches are not loyal. They promise the world, and then they go and take other jobs, and you're seeing it again. I just feel like they need to redo the whole system. The whole system for the NCAA is bad. You shouldn't have coaches pulling that stuff, but they do. And now you have all these players going into the transfer portal. You got like 2,000 players going on the transfer portal. And David Duke, who was lousy down the stretch for Providence, decided that he's going to sign with an agent and go into the NBA draft. You're not even going to get drafted, buddy. He's not even going to get drafted. He'll be lucky to be in the NBA. It's going to wind up being like another Shamari Ponce. And Shamari Ponce was undersized, but Shamari Ponce, you can't tell me Shamari Ponce didn't at least deserve to play in the G League. And instead, he's playing overseas. Pons wishes that he could have come back for his senior year at St. John's. I'm going to say yes. So that covers college basketball. That's the good. Although I did mix in a little bit of bad. With Roy Williams, he's 70 years old. He does have some health issues, and that's a lot more important than coaching basketball. He's been around forever. He's won a couple championships. Carolina, he did a really good job there. He's gotten some really good players. RJ Davis, we landed. Really good talent player from the city that I know of. Played for Stepanak. His running mate, Griffin Jr., Adrian Griffin Jr., he's going to be playing for Duke next year, and he's probably going to be one and done because he's going to be great. I've seen him play. I've seen the highlights of him, and he's probably going to be in the draft. So I don't like the whole one and done thing either. I think the system needs to be fixed. I think if they're going to be – No, if you're not going to college for a year, you should just go pro. Do what LaMelo Ball did. Go play pro. Look at how good LaMelo Ball is. I know he's out right now for the Hornets, but he's definitely the rookie of the year. They have options to play either in the G League. Some guys actually did that. That they decided they wanted to play in the BDL instead of playing college, or you could go overseas. And I think it's good to develop overseas. I think college needs to get with the program. You go to college, you're in there for 3 years. You're in there for 3 years, something that John Junorio, my buddy in Taiwan, said, JPG, you're in there for 3 years. So I'm giving you a little more than I thought I was going to give on this podcast, but that's where I am. That's where I stand. Let's get to the baseball. Let's go to the bad. MLB 20. Why is it bad? I'm going to tell you why it's bad. Because they're still doing this artificial runner on second crap in extra innings from the 10th inning. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. Now, it is the same for both teams. And yes, games will end sooner. We saw the Yankees and Blue Jays the other day on opening day. They went extras because the Yankees still don't know how to manufacture runs. Judge grounded into a double play to end one inning, 5-4-3, around the horn. We saw, and Mike Tauchman, a guy that I like, stole two bases, steals second, steals third, with one out. They can't get him in. Runner on contact on LeMahieu, and he's out at the plate, and then it goes to extra innings, and the Blue Jays get a big double to score their run. The Yankees get the same runner on second with Judge at second. What happens? Hicks takes strike three. Stanton swings and misses, chases a fastball, and then Gleyber Torres strikes out. And Gleyber Torres actually did not have a good opening day. He also misplayed a couple of balls at shortstop, and that can't be. I think Gleyber Torres is going to have a big year for the Yankees, but Gleyber has to – that defense has to be better. This is a full season, all right? Here's – now, what else is bad? Seven-inning doubleheaders. I don't understand why they have to do these seven-inning doubleheaders. This is not last year. This is not a three-month season. It's not a sprint. But they want to do these stupid seven-inning doubleheaders. So you have seven-inning doubleheaders in the run on second, and to me, that's not baseball. And the other, and of course, the other bad part about baseball is just, like I said, the situational hitting. You know, I'm not even going to kill the Yankees for whatever they did from 2010 on after 2009. Let's just go from 2017. Let's start from 2017 against Houston Astros when they probably should have beat them. Why didn't they win? Because they struck out too much, because they have too many guys with the same plate approach. They don't have any plate discipline, and they're too busy trying to bash the ball. And there's not enough bunting in baseball. There's not enough running in baseball. There's not enough advancing runners in baseball. And these are things that drive away fans. And the final thing that I'm going to say, aside from the Mets, and Nats, and I was right about that. As soon as the Nats had guys with COVID, I said we're going to wind up washing out the whole weekend series. And I was right about that. So what happens? You have fans. You have whiny Met fans who just got Francisco Lindor. They stole Francisco Lindor from the Indians because the Indians don't care about winning. They're never going to win another World Series. They had their chances, but they're never going to win another World Series, let alone get to one, because they just don't care. Actually, traded Lindor. They gave him away. I don't think the package was that good, to be honest with you. I really don't. They just got Lindor. The Mets gave him $341 million over 10-year extension after this year, because you think he's making about $21 million this year or $22. And they're celebrating all this, and now they're complaining because, oh, poor us, that, oh, the Mets should be playing the Nats because the Nats still have replacement guys. They could have guys in their tax squad and they could still play the games like the Marlins did. You know what? What it really boils down to, it's in Washington, and I think it's pretty ironic because it's poetic, because Washington has been trying to control everybody, and now, I mean, they're trying to control. What you can and what you can't do, what you can say and what you can't say. And you have a president that's just clueless about voting, who got in because of all these mail-in votes, doesn't think that people should have voter ID. That's ridiculous. And the baseball decided to move the All-Star game away from Atlanta, Georgia, because they wanted to revise the voting so that there is voter ID and it's more in person. And they think that it's racist. You know what? I'm sick of racism. I don't think it's racism. I think that if you can't get out to a poll and vote, then you know what? Unless you have, you know, you have people that do mail it. You have not the stupid mail-in crap that we had last year because of the pandemic, and that's the only way that Democrats could win everything. And I used to be a Democrat, so I would know. That was their way of winning the election, of winning everything. So you got everything you want. And already the Biden administration is messing everything up because they're spending too much money and they're doing a lot of crap. I'm not going to stay on this topic. Here's what I'm going to say. You can request absentee ballots, and I think that's fine. In a normal election year, I think if you're a legal citizen or resident here in the United States, then you should be able to you should have voter ID, you should have your own ID, and that should be required, and that's how you should be able to vote. So that's just my personal opinion. This has nothing to do with either party. I don't like the Republicans either, and I think they're a bunch of frauds. They're so afraid of their shadow. They won't fight the Democrats on anything. Democrats used to actually be more logical, but now they're too progressive and they push too many things, and they're basically trying to control what you can say when you see what's going on social media. And I'm taking a break from it. I'm not going to be on there that much aside from my hockey blog. That's it. My two hockey blogs. That's the only time I'm going to be on social media. I'm not going to be on Twitter anymore. I'm taking a break from Facebook because it's become too toxic and I'm tired of seeing the stuff that's on there. I don't think they should have moved the All-Star game. I think Major League Baseball basically caved. And I think Craig Carton, out of all people who had it right, it just looks bad, caving. What about the people that work at that stadium? You know, that was supposed to, it's just a stupid All-Star game. And they're trying to politicize it the way they politicize everything. And this is the problem with how things are now. I'm going to go a little over my podcast deadline. What a surprise. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get to do some baseball predictions. So stay tuned for that next.
Here we go, we're gonna send this one out to the old school. All these motherfuckers in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Staten Island, Queens, and all the motherfuckers that laid it down, the foundation, you know what I'm saying? Number love for the old school, that's what we're gonna do this one.
All right, we're back here. This is D-Flex, one and only Flexian, as we get ready to make some flex picks here for Major League Baseball. Look, I'm not going to say that I'm up on everything with MLB this year. I'm still trying to get used to the fact that they're going to have a full season, and I'm sure there are going to be more issues with the pandemic. And this is even with vaccination being available, and vaccinations are available, but pretty sure about this that Juan Soto, and I know he tested positive for the COVID again, I'm pretty sure that he was positive at the start of last year too. So isn't that a little strange? What the hell? I mean, I know that Juan Soto is one of the best hitters and one of the best players in baseball. He really is. He's terrific. He's only 22, and wow. I mean, he's definitely he would be one of my MVP candidates, certainly. I think Nats are going to be pretty good this year. Obviously, it doesn't help. He is from the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, to be exact. And you got a lot of talented players, you know, from the Dominican Republic, obviously. I just feel like they're being extra cautious because it's in Washington, D.C., and that's why they decided to wash out that series. There are players in quarantine as well, and they just don't want to take the risk. And that's why I critiqued some of the Met fans and some of the people complaining, because they have to be a little more understanding. All right, they're not that this is different, and it is Washington, D.C., and I just think that's part of it. In regards to what I said about the All-Star game being moved away from Atlanta, Georgia, because of something totally unrelated, it's volumes about where we are today when it comes to this country and sports. And I think it's really sad. I think that you have to be able to separate the games from the other stuff. All right, I don't like the other stuff to begin with. And I'm somebody that was Democrat for most of my life, and I voted Republican once in my life, and I did not vote in the presidential election last year because neither candidate appealed to me. I voted in some other races, but I don't know if I'm ever going to vote again because I just don't believe in the two-party system. And I don't think that they're putting enough emphasis on mental health. I suffer from anxiety and depression. Anxiety sucks. Yes, I do have medication. Thank God I do, because I don't know where I'd be. But when you think about, and it's happening a lot, especially since Biden took office, actually, these hate crimes that are happening against Asian Americans, that's awful. There were hate crimes against Jews as well when Trump was in office, just as, and obviously I'm Jewish, and it's just any kind of hate crime. There should be zero tolerance for that, all right? This isn't about, it's not about race, it's not about color, it's not about ethnicity. This is about what's right and what's wrong. So that's all I'm going to say about it. I think that there's a lot of mental health issues right now. I think there are people that are suffering because there are restricting some of our liberties because of the pandemic and because of the fear mongering that they're using. And yes, I'm not saying that COVID is not real. Oh, it's very real. I had a friend that had it. He just got his first shot. And here's where I am. I get allergy shots. Allergies are really bad right now. I just got an allergy shot on Wednesday. I think that when it comes to vaccinations, we don't have a lot of information. There are different choices out there. Go with either A or B as far as the options if you decide to get vaccinated. Don't go with C. That's the only thing I'll say. But I believe in freedom of choice, just like I believe in freedom of speech, as long as the speech is not hate speech. Because hate speech, I think anybody who does that they should not exist. Let's just put it that way. Okay? All right, so I just want to spell out where I am. I'm an independent person, and that's probably why I'm down on things here. And I really don't think they put enough emphasis on the mental health. I mean, you see a lot of the things that are happening, whether it's shootings, whether it's the hate crimes with the Asian Americans, whatever it is. I really think the mental health aspect is not being emphasized enough. And I can't stress that enough. And there are not many celebrities that are talking about this. I can list two great women that I totally respect, and because you know what? They have common sense, and they have common decency, and they're great, and they're beautiful, but they're also very intelligent. One would be Shayna Taylor, who I follow on Instagram, where I feel like I could voice my opinion more, and I also support a lot of good people, and Shayna Taylor also is a health freak, and she does matcha tea, and I need to get matcha tea. I need to get some more matcha tea for myself because it's good. It's really healthy, and there's a lot of health benefits, and she basically puts everything good to her body. She exercises, and I need to take off some weight, and I need to be healthier. I had a smoothie last night, and I had a salad, so let's start. It's not like I eat a lot of junk, but it's just you got to get away from the carbs when you get older, and if you have anxiety like I do, you got to try to limit your sugar intake. These are things that I would advise anybody as you get older, especially if you have anxiety, but you want to stay healthy. So, and part of my problem is my cholesterol isn't great because of probably on the meds that I'm on. So I do have to be healthier. And that's why I don't really eat ice cream anymore, because there's too much cholesterol on that. Sometimes I'll go for frozen yogurt. I do like smoothies. I like tea. That matcha tea powder that Shayna Taylor sells is pretty good. One other person that I've noticed that really emphasizes the mental health aspect is Taylor Momsen. Taylor Momsen, she is unbelievable because she's unbelievable because she's very highly intelligent, she's very pretty, and she's a great lead singer. I mean, she's just awesome. And if you haven't followed her band, if you haven't followed the Pretty Well, of course, I think you need to. Their album came out back in February, so that's a little over a month ago, February, I think 12th or 11th to be exact, on a Friday. And I think it was 12th. it's a great album. I would recommend it to anybody, especially, I mean, if you're looking for more of the rock music and that, and just much better sound, a little bit of, a lot of rock and a lot of just in your face and a lot of honesty. And she lost, and she was very close to Chris Cornell, and she was very depressed, and she went through depression, and then she lost her manager, who was got into a bike accident. And so she was in a bad way. And of course she used to be on Gossip Girl, but no, she is so talented musically, and her band is terrific. She's done covers of Soundgarden songs. She was on the same tour as Chris Cornell when he took his own life. And she is very, very outspoken about mental health, and even about the issues she had when she felt empty, when she lost someone she idolized, and then her manager, like a year apart. So, I mean, this is a person that you should follow on Instagram. She's a phenomenal person. She's great. And same thing with Shayna. Shayna Taylor is like a model, but she's so much more. She has her own independent business. She's a small business owner. She is very informed. She gives people good advice on things that you can follow. She has her own Shayna's Kitchen thing, which is really good. These are two people that I totally recommend. And I can't believe I'm talking about this, but I did mention the mental health aspect, and I really think that's something that is not being discussed enough. So from there, I want to get back and do a little bit of fun stuff. Let's do some fun stuff on the baseball. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Yankees and Mets. Look, I think the Mets are the bigger topic than the Yankees. And I'm a Yankee fan, but I have to say that because of Lindor, because they added Lindor, and because Lindor is going to be a big boost for them in the middle of their lineup. Well, I think he's hitting close to the top of the lineup. I don't know what their lineup is supposed to be, but when you have Jeff McNeil, who is such a professional hitter, when you have him, you have Lindor, who plays Gold Glove defense, and he will be. Look, I think he is going to be. He's definitely getting. I think that he's getting too much money for that contract, but they gave it to him. He's going to be. He'll be 27 or 28 when he starts it. So he'll be there until he's 38. I don't like long term. I'm just not a long term contract guy. I don't like those 10-year kind of contracts. But hey, I mean, the Padres gave Fernando Tatis Jr. Was it a 14-year contract? But he's also a few years younger. I think he's only 22. And I think he's probably the best shortstop. Lindor is in the top. I think he's in the top five. These are the guys I would put ahead of him. I think I would put Corey Seager ahead of him. I just think Corey Seager is a better player. Look, I think Lindor is probably the better defender. But Corey Seager can make all the plays, and I think he's a better hitter. And he was finally healthy last year, and you saw what he did in the postseason for the Dodgers. He was unbelievable. And he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I like him. I do like him. I like Tatis. So I like those two guys. You want to put Lindor third? I mean, a lot of people put him first. And there's also Trevor Story of Colorado. He is very productive. Of course, he does play for the Colorado Rockies. So there is that Coors Field factor, but he will put up gaudy numbers, and he will be available. There's also Javier Baez, or I like to call him Javi Baez. My question with Javi Baez is this. Because of his re-swinging nature, he's excellent defensively. Excellent defensively. It's not just about the slick tags, which JPG jokes about. And he's a great base runner. Is his re-swinging, because he only hit like around 200 last year in the shortened season and the strikeouts, and he has to walk and get on base, and he is 28 now, is it going to catch up to him? Is it catching up? Because he might be one of those guys that's buyer beware. I mean, the strikeouts are a little bit alarming for him. And he did not have a good year last year. 2.03 with 8 home runs, 24 RBIs is not a good year for him. And he definitely has taken a step back since he finished runner-up for MVP behind Yelich, Christian Yelich, in 18. He was 25, his 25 season. And then he was 281, 29, 85. Stolen bases have dropped off a little bit. 7 walks and 75 strikeouts. That just doesn't cut it. And he's a career 304 on base because he doesn't walk. I mean, he's a great defender. He's got power in his bat. He's playing for a contract. The Cubs are looking like a team that's going to be moving players. They're going to be moving on from Anthony Rizzo. I'm going to make a prediction. I'm saying Anthony Rizzo will be traded to the New York Yankees. And I know they have Luke Voit, and Luke Voit's out until June. Anthony Rizzo to the Yankees makes sense. He's a big left-handed bat. He's proven in October. He plays good. He's a much better glove. And I think that he would make sense. He won a World Series with the Cubs, of course, with Baez and Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant being the other guy who can be unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. I think Chris Bryant is another guy that's going to get traded. If the Cubs do trade two guys, it's going to be Rizzo and Bryant. I don't know what their situation is with Baez. There just are a lot of great shortstops in the league. That's just how it is. There are a lot of great shortstops. Javi Baez is one of them. I don't know if I'd say he's great anymore. I don't know. Marcus Semien went from the Oakland Athletics to the Blue Jays, and Marcus Semien is a very underrated player. And Marcus Semien is going to help the Blue Jays a lot. So here's the thing with the Mets. They should be able to hit. I mean, when you think about what they have, when you could have James McCann like eighth in your lineup because pitchers are going to be hitting this year. At least they're not doing the universal DH this year. I'm not a fan of that. At least they're not doing that. But when you have Lindor, you add Lindor to Pete Alonso, who was a little bit more up and down last year, and Dominic Smith, who I think is a better first baseman than Pete Alonso, but he has to play left field. And I think Dominic Smith's a better hitter than Alonso. Alonso's got more power. But Smith can hit to all fields. And Dom Smith was the best hitter on the Mets last year. So you add that to their lineup, J.D. Davis. He's not going to be great at third in terms of the glove, but you could also have like McNeil there sometimes. But J.D. Davis will hit later in the order, and he can hit, probably give them about he could hit about 285, 290, probably with 15 to 20 home runs, probably 20 home runs. So, yeah, run production will not be a problem for the New York Mets. That's not going to be an issue. So, I don't like their rotation. You know, nobody's talking about the Mets rotation. But after DeGrom, it's a little spotty. And I think it really comes down to Stroman, who is all talk and has never backed it up. And he's their second starter right now. And they signed Taijuan Walker. Taijuan Walker's a guy. How many innings is he going to give them? Walker pitched good last year. He's already, I think, on his third or fourth roster. Those two guys are going to be keys. I don't think Taijuan Walker is a third starter. I don't think Stroman's a number two. So whenever Noah Syndergaard comes back, that's going to be like their trade deadline addition. It's the same thing with the Yankees with Luis Severino, even though the Yankees did wind up adding Corey Kluber. And I think that was a really good addition. It's low risk. And he looked good all spring. Obviously, you have to worry if you get hurt. And they also traded for the former Pittsburgh Pirate as well. So I don't like the Mets rotation, and I also think they're going to miss Seth Lugo in their bullpen. Lugo is probably not going to be ready until probably late May or June. And they did add some guys in the bullpen, but I actually think the pitching staff is the concern with the Mets. I think the Mets can score with almost anybody. I actually like the Mets offense better than the Yankees offense because I think the Yankees are too one-dimensional, and I think Mets aren't one-dimensional. I don't like the Yankee offense because it's just too predictable. I don't think DJ LeMahieu should hit leadoff. I think they hit him leadoff because he's a really good hitter. But I think Hicks should hit leadoff, and I think LeMahieu should bat second. I think Judge should hit third. then I would hit Glaber fourth, or I would even go Glaber. I would go Glaber fourth, then Sanchez sixth, or maybe intertwine those two guys. No, Stanton have to hit either fourth or fifth. Boone doesn't want to have Judge and Stanton back to back because of all the strikeouts, the propensity for the strikeouts. But in the first game, Clint Frazier, who is the left starting left fielder right now with Brett Gardner on the bench, batted ninth, and he had two hits. Clint Frazier has to bat at least in the top seven. And G. Orsella did not have a good spring. G. Orsella is going to be better for his glove. He's not going to put up the same offensive numbers that he put up in 2019. He is a great glove, though, I'll tell you that much. And he's a nice player to have because he's a guy who can make contact with the ball. So if he gives you 270 or 270, 265, 270 and double-digit home runs and around 60, 70 runs knocked in, you'll take it. I'll take it. Hicks, I'm just waiting for him to get DL'd. I call him DL Hicks because I just don't know. One other prediction I have, this depends on Hicks. We know Gardner can play center, aren't in the race, that the Yankees will trade for, or at least consider trading for Mike Yastrzemski from the San Francisco Giants, who can play center field and is an upgrade over Aaron Hicks. I think he's better defensively. He's younger. He's a better hitter. I just think he would be – I think that would be a good move for them. So just a couple of predictions there. And I know my friend Madison, who does her own Madison Miller podcast on the Anchor site, she really liked that prediction. She wasn't sure about the Anthony Rizzo prediction, but she really loved the idea of Mike Yastrzemski to the Yankees. And I like Mike Yastrzemski. I think he's a real professional hitter. This is just a Derek Felix prediction, a T-Flex prediction right there. Either Rizzo or Yastrzemski will end up with the Yankees. One of the Maddox predictions I really liked, and I'm stealing from her, because I really liked what she said. She predicts Josh Hader, who's on the Brewers team that I don't think is going to be all too good, Josh Hader to the Yankees because of Zach Britton being on the 60-day DL, and they're probably going to need a lefty. And Josh Hader is a great setup guy; he could be used in the seventh and eighth inning in all leverage situations. He's a big strikeout guy. He's not great in the closer role; he gives up home runs, but I think that he's perfect, and that he could be seventh inning, eighth inning. And he could be very tough. And I think that would be a great access for the Yankees. So I'm piggybacking on Madison, and I'll let her know that I piggybacked in my first podcast on this Block Talk Radio on this Far Hits program time, and I don't know how long. But I'm piggybacking right there. Divisions. I think the Yankees are the best team in the AL East. I think the Blue Jays are good. I just don't. I don't like their pitching. I don't know if they have enough pitching. I think they can. They're going to be able to hit. They will be able to hit. And I expect Guerrero to be better this year. I expect Bo Bichette to have a big season. I love the addition of Marcus Semien. George Springer is starting the season on the DL. That's a little strange. You're going to have former rivals now on the same team. Marcus Semien, who played for the Oakland Athletics, and George Springer. And Springer is starting on the DL or the IL, whatever you want to call it. I don't know why it's not called the disabled list. Really, everything has to be so politically correct. I just don't agree with it. It's the DL. It'll always be the DL to me. Here's my thing. Jays lost their closer for the season. So it's closing games for them. That's a question. The Rays, they traded Blake Snell. They lost Charlie Morton. They subtracted a lot of starting pitchers. But yet, you know they're going to be able to pitch. They shut out the Marlins the first game. The second game, their starter, the guy that I like, he had a no-hitter for like six innings, and then the Marlins came back and like won the game. So I'm just not... I'm not sure. Everybody thinks the Rays are going to be bad, and I'm not 100% sure about that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rays are a little better than people think. Dan, our buddy Dan, thinks they're going to be under 80 wins. I just don't see that. I know Kevin Cash blew it with Blake Snell, and that's what Blake Snell asked out.
They still have Tyler Glasnow as their ace, and Tyler Glasnow gave them a great outing in the first game. I actually think, and they have some guys that can hit. Brandon Lowe can hit. Austin Meadows can hit. And look at this. The Rays came back and scored 4 in the 9th inning against the Marlins, and they're 2-0. So the Marlins, who broke up the no-hitter, got 4 runs, 3 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th. Their bullpen could not shut down the Rays, and the Rays are 2-0. Lo and behold, there you go. The Rays are 2-0. And don't forget, Joey Wendell actually had a big home run. They also have that other guy that got revenge against Chapman, who is just he's a screwball. He really is. Brusseau, that's the guy, Brusseau, who wound up basically eliminating the Yankees with that home run, which was unbelievable. I don't trust Chapman in big spots. So I'm gonna say that. I still think the Rays are gonna be good. I'm gonna go Yankees 1, Rays 2, Blue Jays 3, and then probably Orioles 4. I think the Red Sox are going to be terrible. I just got a feeling about that. The Orioles have guys that can hit. I don't know about their pitching, but I know they have guys who can hit. They have some good players on a team that can hit. The question will be their pitching. I think the Red Sox are going to be bad. I think they're going to be really bad. Their pitching rotation sucks. Nathan Eovaldi cannot be your opening day starter, and their best starter is hurt already. So, and he's not. I'm talking about Rodriguez, and he's not that good to begin with. The Central. Eloy Jimenez is a hit to the White Sox, but their offense is still going to be really good with Louis. I think Louis. Now, I'm actually picking Louis Robert to win the AL MVP. Yeah, it's easy to pick. It's easy to pick some of the other guys. It's easy to pick Trout. It's easy to pick, you know, maybe a Yankee, whether it's DJ LeMahieu or it's Gleyber Torres, or maybe you want to pick Judge. I just don't know if Judge could stay healthy. It's easy to pick somebody else for the MVP. I'm going to go for Louis Robert. I really think this guy is going to carry this team, and I think he's going to be great this year. And I'm just, you know what? It's crazy to pick a guy that's only in his second year. I know, but he's Gold Glove. He looks like a Gold Glove caliber center field. He's made some great plays. He's got a world of power and immense talent. I'm just going to go with a young player. I'm going to take someone that nobody would pick. So I'm going with Louis Robert. So I'm going with the White Sox to win the AL Central over the Twins. I still think the Indians will be competitive. I could see the Tigers being a little better. Well, I don't think the Royals will be any good. Their top five in their lineup is not bad. Their first five in the lineup is not bad. They still have Whit Merrifield, Nick Cobb, Jorge Soler, who's another one of those Reese Wickers who hits a lot of home runs and strikes out a lot. But they don't have any pitching. They don't have any pitching. AL West, I'm not really a fan of the Angels. I think that obviously I love their lineup, and I think obviously they'll do a lot of hitting. They will do a lot of hitting, but I have a lot of questions with their pitching. I know Joe Maddon's second year there, and usually he does a good job. They are 1-1. They gave up 5 runs in the 9th to the White Sox. They scored 2 themselves, and they lost 12-8. So, and some guy by the name of Mercedes got 5 career hits for the White Sox. I just think the White Sox are a really good team. I think they're loaded for beer. This is Pujols' last year. The Angels, Dylan Bundy gave them a good start. And he's their ace, believe it or not. Ohtani is healthy, and he's going to pitch and hit this year. Ohtani is the key to that team. You know, everybody could talk about Trout, but to me, Ohtani is the key. He's got to stay healthy because I don't like their pitching without him. Andrew Haney has also started their second game. That's not good enough. You have Dexter Fowler. He's kind of up there. Anthony Rendon, obviously, and Trout and Justin Upton are keys. Ohtani is a real – Ohtani's actually the most important player on the team. I really feel that way. I really do feel that way about that. I actually think the Mariners are going to be a surprise in this division. I am going to go with the Oakland Athletics. I still think they are the best team in this division. I'm taking the A's. I have to think the Astros still, even though they did lose some guys, Zach Greinke is still there. I know they don't have Verlander, but they actually have some young pitchers that can that actually are – they have some really good arms, actually, that I think are going to surprise some people. And they also have Alvarez, Jordan Alvarez, who is going to rake. And they have Altuve. They still can hit. They're still going to be able to hit. And I think they have some young arms. I don't know about the bullpen. They still have some young arms. So I still think they'll be good. So I'm gonna go A's, and they're 0-2 so far. They've lost two games already. The Astros. Then I go A's, Astros, Mariners, Angels, and Rangers. I'm going 1-5 that way. And don't forget about Bregman. I forgot about him. So Bregman, of course, being another guy that could be an MVP candidate. Matt Chapman, of course, the A's could be an MVP candidate. Mariners have some really good young signing talent on that team, and Kyle Tucker is going to be a good hitter for the Astros. In terms of playoffs, this is a normal playoff year. My division winners are the Yankees, the White Sox, and the Oakland Athletics. My wild card matchup, which is really a play-in game, that is going to be – wait, is it a play-in? Or is it just one? I forgot how the hell they do it. But if I was going – if I'm – for the wild card, I know Madison likes the Rays to sneak in. I'm going to go Blue Jays originally, but I don't think they're good enough to get there. I know the Twins have a good roster. I have a feeling it's going to come from the AL West. So I'm going to go with the Astros. I'm going with the Astros to get into the wild card. Is it one wild card? I forgot. I think it's 5-5. That's right. It's 5-5. That's right. It's 5-5. Because then whoever wins that play-in is the true wild card. And then okay. So wild cards are going to – I'm going with the Astros. And second one. Most people would pick the Twins. And they have a good team. I'm not going to pick the Twins, but I think it's going to be a surprise this year. I'm going to go with someone. It's going to be a surprise. I'm not even sure who it's going to be. I really should just take the Rays. Nobody thinks that they can make the playoffs. I still do. I don't know why. I still think that this team could get in. I still think they could get in the playoffs. I just got a feeling about it. I think the Mariners are going to surprise people, but I think the Rays are going to find their way in. So I'm going to go with the Rays. Surprise, surprise. National League. I already talked about how I don't like the Mets rotation. I think the Mets are going to have to outscore teams, actually. And everybody can talk about Lindor and what he'll add. I don't think the Mets defense is that great, though. I mean, Jeff McNeil is not great defensively. JT Davis is not great defensively. The Mets should really trade for Chris Bryant. That would be a good move. They don't have Seth Lugo. Syndergaard is going to be out. Probably not going to be back until July. I don't like the Mets rotation. And I'm not picking the Mets to make the playoffs. I like the Braves. I think the Braves have the best team. I like the rotation a lot. That lineup is really, really good. With Acuna, Bees, with who the heck am I? Oh, Freeman. Freddie Freeman, the rating MVP. I like the shortstop too. I think he's a really good player. No, nobody talks about him. You got the young player. I think is he playing third or is he playing left field? And I like their bullpen too. I think their bullpen is better as well. I'm going Braves one. I'm going to go Nats two. John Lester is going to be pitching in the back of the rotation. They have a good offense. They have Trey Turner. Trey Turner is probably the most underrated shortstop in the game. Nobody talks about how good Trey Turner is. And Trey Turner had a great year last year. Soto, I think this team is due for a bounce-back year. I think Scherzer is going to have a good year. I think he's going to bounce back. They still have Patrick Corbin. They added Lester. This is a good team. The Nationals are a good team. Last year just wasn't their year. They had injuries, and they just fell apart, and things just not work out the way they were supposed to for them. I just got a feeling about this team. I think they're going to have a good year. So I'm going to go with those two teams, 1-2, and they're both getting in the playoffs. The Mets will finish third. The Phillies, I don't like them. I think their ace will bounce back. I think they'll hit, but they'll also strike out a lot, and I don't like their fielding. Brom's a guy to keep an eye on. That guy will be a really good player. You got four teams that they should all be 81 wins and more. So now the Marlins had a good year last year. They got in the playoffs and they expanded. If the Marlins can pitch the way they did last year. Their offense is a little bit hit or miss. Guys like Corey Dickerson, they still have the ex-Pirate in their outfield as well, which is good. They're going to have to win a lot of low-scoring games, I think. I think that division is really good. I think that might be the best division in baseball, to be honest. I don't think there are really any bad teams in that division. And would I be surprised if the Marlins finish higher than the Phillies? I can't believe I'm saying this, but I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be. I really wouldn't. I think that's just a really good division. All right. NL Central, the Cardinals, by default, because I think the Cubs are going to be trading away some of their players. They brought back Jake Arrieta and their pitching staff. It's basically Hendricks, and he did not have a good first game, but he'll be okay because he knows how to pitch. It's Hendricks, it's Arrieta, and it's a bunch of guys that just aren't good enough. And that rotation is just not good enough. Yes, he should be able to hit, but I think Ian Happ's their best player now. Ian Happ had a really good year last year. And unless Bryant or Baez bounce back, Baez is probably their most important player. See it. I have to see it first to believe it. I think Ian Happ is gonna have a big year. I don't think last year was a fluke. It started when he had a really good finish to 2019. And the Reds had a good year last year. But then they lost Bauer. And what are they? That's the question I have. And Castillo just got lit up. I'm sure Castillo will bounce back, because he's a good young pitcher. He's one of the better young pitchers in the game. By the way, Trevor Bauer's first outing after using the Mets for leverage to go to the Dodgers. Struck out 10, flirt with a no-hitter, and his debut for the Dodgers. That's how it went for him. Only one team is making the playoffs out of the division. I don't like Milwaukee either. And the Pirates. They are awful. They're an awful team. They did win their first game, though, against the Cubs. They're going to be an awful team. NL West, it's a two-horse race. Dodgers, defending champs, who can rake with anybody, and they've got Power, they've got Kershaw, they've got Dustin May, who I think I have on my fantasy team. They have that other kid that I like, the lefty. And I think I have him on my fantasy team as well, who finished off the World Series, finished off the CS as well. One of the best decisions, Dave Roberts. Is it Dave Roberts? Not Dave Roberts. Who the heck manages? I hate Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts is a jerk. I can't think of who manages the Dodgers right now. I'm just not able to place it right now. But when you have Mookie Betts and you have Corey Seager, Turner still is back with this team. Gavin Lux is playing second base. Bellinger, Muncy. I mean, this team is scary. David Price is coming out of the bullpen. This is a scary team. I think they probably will win. They'll win that division. Because they will. The Padres are going to be right there with them. These two teams are going to be battling for this division. They're both going to win 95 plus games because the rest of the division is so bad. I think the Dodgers are going to win about 103. The Padres are going to win about 98. I think. So who are your wild cards? My wild cards in the NL, it's the Padres and the Nats, not the New York Mets. I'm not picking the Mets to make the playoffs. I just got a feeling that the Mets are going to fall short because I think the Nats and I think the Braves have better pitching and I think they have better overall rosters. The only question I have would be if the bullpen of the Nationals will it break down. So that would be one of my questions, and I don't like the closer they brought in. They brought in the former Indians closer. I don't know how that's going to work. He's in closing games. I don't think there are a lot of good closers anymore in baseball either. So that's one of the downfalls of baseball. So my World Series, if I had to pick a World Series right now, you know, it's so easy to pick the Dodgers. I'm going to stick with what I picked originally, and everybody laughed at me. I'm going to go with Padres against the White Sox. It'll be different. So I'm going to go with Padres and White Sox, which is possible. Sox have a lot of good young arms on their team, too. And, I'm going to go with that. It's going to be different. The Dodgers are the favorite to repeat. They're the favorite. So that's what I'm going. MVP for the National League. I'm sure a lot of Mets fans probably think Lindor's going to win. I don't think Lindor hits for a high enough average. He's about a .285 career hitter. And he will steal his bases, though. He steals bases. I will give him that. And he will hit 30-plus home runs, and he'll knock in about 110. He should knock in 110 on that lineup. I know it's going to sound crazy. I think Dominic Smith's their best hitter. Because he can hit for average, and then he can hit for power. Jeff McNeil is a great hitter, but I actually think Dominic Smith is their most important hitter in that lineup. I can't believe I'm saying that, but if I had to go MVP, I'm kind of pointing towards Manny Machado. He had a great year last year. That was half a year. I think maybe the stars finally aligned for him to have the year that we always knew he could have. And that's a really good lineup. It'd be very easy to pick Bellinger or pick Mookie Betts, because Mookie will be right in the convo, or pick somebody else from that team. I'm going to go with Manny Machado. And when I tell JP Jesus, he's going to laugh, because I've mocked Manny Machado forever. But I think Manny Machado can have a big year on a team. I really do. So I'm going to go with him. I'm not going to go with Tatis Jr. I'm going to go with Manny Machado. So there you go. Some Major League Baseball picks. So as usual, I went a lot longer than I thought I would go on this podcast. What a shock. And now let's go to the ugly. And I already addressed some of the ugly when it comes to some of the hate stuff, some of the free speech stuff, some of the stuff that they did with the All-Star game, which I don't care about anyway. I don't watch the All-Star game. It's stupid. But I just feel bad for all the people who were going to work that game. And I think that is totally unfair. And I think that's why I think you got to separate. You know, people talk about how, it's prejudice against minorities and blacks. Wait, United States of America. Country's been around since 1776, last I checked, right? There's Declaration of Independence, just Bill of Rights. If you continue to do mail-in balloting, then even criminals, even people who are criminals who are repeat offenders who were let out, and there's too many of those, and this is a big problem with the justice system, with the progressive movement, and that's one of my biggest criticisms with the way the Democratic Party has rolled, especially here in New York. When you have a guy that a black man, by the way, and I don't like. I'm not saying look, it could be white, it could be yellow. It doesn't matter. It was a 38-year-old black American, a guy who killed his own mom in 2002, if I remember that report correct, and he then attacked an Asian American in Brooklyn this past week, and then he was arrested. What was he doing out on the street? He killed his own mother. There are a lot of great blacks that live out here. I'm friends with a lot of good, with a lot of, I'm very friendly with a lot of people who are African American and a lot more well educated. I just think that I don't look at it as prejudice. You live in this country, I don't see why you shouldn't be registered to vote, number one, and I don't see why you shouldn't have an ID. A photo ID. We're talking about either a driver's license or an ID if you're going to vote. I don't see that as prejudice. I just don't. I see that as the White House trying to control things. Now, as much as they said the same thing about the Trump administration, I think it's the same thing. I think you're getting the same thing there. And I just don't like politicizing everything. And I feel bad for the Braves, and I feel bad for the organization, and I feel bad for the people who work at that ballpark. And I don't think they should have an All-Star game. And I'm really down on baseball for doing what they did, because this is wrong. All right, that's how I feel about it. So that's my opinion, and that's it. That's where I'm roll. That's the way I roll. All right. The ugly. Let's do the ugly. The NBA has fined Kevin Durant $50,000 for slurs that he used in a private message where he got into a heated exchange with Michael Rapaport, the former actor, who is just a personality now and is always on social media. Same Michael Rapaport that I watched in movies. He never really got great roles, I mean, but he was an interesting guy. He was in Higher Learning, and he played the neo-Nazi where he followed that just awful neo-Nazi group. Movie with Omar Epps and Tyra Banks, when she was beautiful and smoking hot in that. And Ice Cube was in that. And who played the freaking professor? Oh my god, he was so funny. He had the fucking funniest. It was the guy from Boys in the Hood. Oh my god, his accent was so funny. Mr. Williams. I love the part where he makes the speech. He makes the speech, right, where he says, I don't care, and if you're in this class, that means if you didn't get enough sleep last night. He, like, wakes up somebody that's, like, asleep. Or if your color is black. He looks at Omar Epps' character. Or if you're a woman. Or whatever. I don't know. Like, that's not a great movie, but there are some things in that movie. You know who else was in that movie? Christy Swanson. Oh my god, she's smoking. She still looks great. Christy Swanson, the original Buffy. God, wow, she still looks great, and she is totally anti-Democrat, and she's Republican. And I followed her on the Twitter. I'm taking a break from there, but a lot of stuff she says, she makes a lot of good points. I just think there's too much when it comes to celebrities and politics anyway. This Kevin Durant thing, and I know Michael Rapaport kind of leaked it out, and I know that there was a whole argument where Durant defended Barstool Sports, and Barstool Sports has a very suspect reputation because Dave Portnoy, after reading up about him, sounds to me like there are some things there that involving women, female employees, appropriating sexual kind of behavior and harassment. Not good. Not good stuff. I don't know anything about I really don't know anything about the guy except that he's rich and he's a big investor, a big stock guy, as JPG said. Kevin Durant saying some of the things that he said, and you're giving him $50,000. You're just going to fine him $50,000. You're not going to spend them. You're not going to actually just put him. Yeah, God forbid Kevin Durant plays on the basketball court instead of nursing his injury for as long as he can, because James Harden is the only baller on that fucking team. I mean, the Nets are going to win the championship. I just don't see how. Who's going to beat them? I mean, Harden doesn't miss games. Now he's finally hurt, but so he's going to miss a couple games. But he's a baller, and he's not a baby. He doesn't have mood swings like Kyrie Irving, who basically had a 3-day vacation for his birthday celebration. Let's be honest, he does have mental health issues, though. But I will say that. So he does. He's not a happy guy. He's not a happy guy. Imagine making all millions of dollars. You're playing a kid sport and you're not happy. But that's the mental health aspect that's why mental health should be more emphasized. But can you imagine this stuff happened in the old days of the NBA, in the 90s? Guys missing games. And we don't even know why they're missing games. Kyrie Irving's just a very strange guy. Very strange. But this Kevin Durant thing is a joke. And if the NBA had any kind of balls, they would have suspended him. They would have suspended him for like 3 games, 3 or 4 games. It's like the NHL with their stupid player safety where McDavid elbows a guy in the head and he gets a $5,000 fine. He elbows a guy in the head and he gets no suspension because he's Connor McDavid, because he's Canadian, boy. He's boy wonder. Yet the other Toros have never won a fucking playoff series. What did they want? One playoff series? Yeah, they're going to the playoffs this year. We'll see how they do when they face the Maple Leafs in the playoffs or the Jets in the playoffs. They go right out, despite the fact that they have him and Draisaitl. I think Draisaitl's better than McDavid, to be honest. And I'm glad Draisaitl got his hard trophy last year. Defense. I don't care how many points he puts up. Not better than Sidney Crosby. That's like saying that Mario Lemieux was better than Wayne Gretzky. Not that either was great defensively, but Gretzky was better. That's better than Mario. Or that Mark Messi. Oh, Mario was better than Messi. Messi was a much better, more complete player. It was much tougher. Mario's just a whiner. Mario's. Look, I would enjoy watching Mario play. Five goals or six goals against the Devils. In that game where he scored every different way, right? Even strength, power play, shorthanded, penalty shot. Scored every way imaginable against the Devils. That was 1988 Christmas, I think, or something, or New Year's. It's like a memorable game. He's just a whiner. He was just a whiner. Crosby was a whiner because he learned from Mario, but Crosby is way more mature and he's grown up. And Crosby is a much better overall player than Mario. And if Crosby didn't miss 200 games, I totaled it out. He missed 200 games in his career. He would have over 1,500 points, and he'd probably have a legit shot at 2,000 points in his career. That's how great Crosby is. He's unbelievable. He'll be 34, I think, this summer, right? He's 33. Malkin, I think it was 35. I just think that when it comes to these players, because they're a celebrity, these leagues are so soft. Like, if he really, and I don't think Rappaport should be leaking a lot of stuff out anyway, but I just think this is really ugly. It's really bad for the NBA. And Durant's already, resting anyway because of a hamstring. They don't want to take a risk in that, so I understand that. I mean, they're going to wind up with the best record in the East now because the Sixers have fallen back. And I think the Nets are like half a game up on them. I think Kevin Durant is black. And he said some really disgusting things, apparently. I don't care to see what he said. That kind of stuff, slurs, that kind of stuff, that's so uneducated. This is a guy who went to college for, what did he go to college for, a year? He played for what? Who did he play for? Was it Texas? I think it was, or was it Oklahoma State? I can't remember who the hell he played for, but, like, grow up. And this guy always complains. He's always complaining. He complains more than LeBron does. And I don't like LeBron at all. LeBron is a whiny bastard who has something to say about everything. The fraud, LeBron. I mean, really, he started this whole revolution where now not only are you building super teams, now teams are sitting out guys, and then the guys get to pick where they want to go. Like LaMarcus Aldridge chose the Nets, and Blake Griffin winds up on the Nets. And what's Andre Drummond is a Laker. And I just think that's ridiculous. That's why the NBA is not as good as it used to be. This stuff never happened. It didn't even happen in 2000. Unless you were traded. I do not like what's happened to the NBA. There's too much Chuck and Duck. Chuck and Duck, by the way, is basically guys like Dame Lillard shooting from 30 feet out. I don't care how good Dame Lillard is when it comes to making shots from there, that distance, and buzzer beaters. What's Dame Lillard ever won? You make the same conversation as Steph Curry? No. There's only one Steph Curry. There's only one Steph. And if you looked at what the Warriors have done without Steph Curry this year, because they don't have no Klay Thompson, and Dre Green is out, they got lost by 53 friggin' points tonight to the Raptors, and their Raptors are like 12 games under 500. He scored 77 points and gave up like 127 or 130. It's ridiculous. I think the NBA really needs to reevaluate things. Maybe they need to push their three-point line back because it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't like the way basketball's played, to be honest. I watch a lot of college games, too. I don't watch as many as I used to, but, you know, and that three-point shot, it either makes or it breaks you. And there's too many guys who are jacking it up. It's a good shot if you have a lights-out shooter like a Reggie Miller or a guy who could create his shot and is a great shooter, shoot it about 40%. Fine. Or if you're making the extra pass. But there's not enough posts. There's not enough box outs. And it's just a lot sloppier. I've seen better play in high schools. In some of the high school games that I've done. Harder, I've seen teams play harder defense. And I've seen them make the extra passes. And the transition. Some of the transitions that we see are just a joke. How many times do you have to see a 3-on-1 where you have guys underneath the basket? You can get a dunk all the way up to the guy for the three-point shot. And if they miss it, guess what? It's an empty possession. Take the friggin' layup. I mean, I don't know. I think basketball has really trended down. And that's just my personal opinion. And Kevin Durant is an absolute idiot. So I don't care if he apologizes. I think he's a great talent, and I respect his game. But honestly, he has gone so down after this. And I know his former teammate, Russell Westbrook, was breaking down, and Russell Westbrook doesn't seem to care about winning a championship. But listen to what Russell Westbrook said after a game, the Wizards, the other night. And listen to what he said about making a real difference and about the fact that he was a success. He's a champion because he made the NBA, because he made it out. That's intelligence. That's a guy who wants to make a difference. And he can be a little bit of a high on the court, but that's just how he competes. He's very, that's the way he's wired. But have you ever seen Russell Westbrook say anything really stupid? Have you ever seen him get in trouble? No. Same thing with James Harden. Even though I think sometimes James Harden, when he isolates himself, it's just ridiculous. But now he's more of the point guy, and I have a lot more respect for him. So this podcast went a lot longer than I thought it would go. Anybody who tuned in, thanks. But thank you for anyway. So thanks a lot. Good night.